Oh, just give me a second. Yeah. So the questionnaire, I mean, the questions which I'm going to ask you is broadly about, what personal branding is and how you have gone about building your personal brand over the years. Before we start, why don't you quickly give a short introduction about yourself for the benefit of readers?
So thanks, Anisu, and greetings to everyone who's listening. My name is Joseph Fernandez. I'm an author and a communications leader, and I've been on this journey of being an author and communications leader since 1990. So that's a good 3 decades of working across advertising, journalism, corporate communications, and since 2006. Between 2006 and 2020, I've worked in IT, focusing in the areas of corporate communications. Work for the retail vertical, for some of the biggest retailers in the world, the healthcare vertical, and digital transformation. Primarily now, I focus on the area of thought leadership for companies, and specifically my core area these days is marketing through e-books.
Okay, great. Thank you so much
Yes,
for that.
that's
Yeah, I think that's yeah. And you've been big supporter of my work as well on internal comms, and thank you so much for that. You've given the foreword for my book. So I wanted to ask you. So
thanks.
what according to you is personal branding? So I'll take notes as you go along as you speak as well. So what is your
Sure.
understanding of personal branding?
So my understanding of personal branding is that it's a journey, and it's a journey in 3 stages. I've seen this journey happen. I mean, if you were to think about our lives, right? We've got 3 stages in our lives. We spend the first 2 decades thinking about creating our identity. We then go into for the first 2 decades, right? You look at you work on your education and look at creating your identity. Trying to figure out what you want to do and then get into the professional world to make a living, to build a career. Then of course you then move into that stage, which is building your brand, right? And then you have managed your reputation. So if I were to sum up what I think personal branding is, it is actually a journey in 3 stages or a journey in 3 acts. It's create your identity in the first stage. Build your brand and manage your reputation. To me, that's what personal branding is about.
Great. And so obviously I would consider you as a personal brand in the capacity you're in. But the question to you is, do you consider yourself and do you see yourself as a personal brand? And how do you really know that you are one?
Absolutely. So, first of all, if you split it into two, personal and brand, right? The personal, I consider myself a personal brand because you just realize that it's something that's happening. Now, regardless of whatever you do, people are going to associate you with a certain experience, okay, as a person. And now, for me, a brand is primarily an experience, right? So it starts, a brand can be a person, a brand can be an organization, or a brand can be a place. But where it all starts is with the brand being a person. And I think that's where it all started in the beginning. And we recognize a brand, especially when it comes to a person, we recognize the brand through, of a person very much more strongly than we would of an organization or a place, right? We always think of a certain person who influenced us saying, that person, he or she made me feel this way. Okay, to me, that experience is the personal brand.
Got it. So basically, you're saying the personal touch or the experience you perceive, and that's what really
Yes.
leads to a personal brand. Okay. And so in your
Yes.
journey, so what does one do to go about building a personal brand? So what is your way of approaching it?
Yeah. So the way that I see it is that I want to quote, I want to bring out one of the first quotes. First of the many quotes that we use over the course of this conversation that
Sure.
we are having. This is a quote from a person called Jerry Garcia. Now, Jerry Garcia was the founder of a 60s rock band called Grateful Dead.
Right.
Okay. And not many people know that Jerry Garcia and his group, the Grateful Dead, were the inventors of what we call freemium today.
Okay.
You know, when we say freemium content.
Okay.
These were the people that invented this freemium genre of music.
Got
okay.
It.
So it was a whole way of life. They had this long format music that we call jams and on the music scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Long format music, psychedelic rock from San Francisco.
Mm.
And what they did along with that was to create an experience around it. So they would essentially create albums out of concerts from traveling from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
And so then these fans that followed them were called Deadheads, and they had their t-shirts and all of that. Everything that we see in today's pop world,
mm-hmm.
began with what the Grateful Dead was doing in the 1960s.
Got it.
They went on for many years after that, but basically what Jerry Garcia said about a personal brand is probably the most important thing that you need to know about it. This is what he said. He said, you do not merely want to be considered just the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll repeat that again. He said, you do not merely want to be considered just the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be considered the only one who does what you do.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. You want to be considered the only one who does what you do.
Okay.
In other words, if we look at the people that we look around, is there a disturbance in the background?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, we can go ahead. Yeah.
So, he essentially said that you don't want to go and be a part of the rat race and say, I'm trying to be the best among the best.
Hmm.
But what you want to do is you want to find your own space, your own niche.
Right.
And you want to be considered the only one who does what you do.
Sure. Okay. Got that. So,
Should we do it again because there's noise in the background?
No, it's fine. I mean, I've captured that. Not a problem. And it's getting recorded. No worries. Yeah.
Okay.
Just that the audio, I mean, the video, I have a feeling it may still not record your part. That's what my sense is because of the duo not allowing for video capture. So anyway, I'm recording it also on audio, so we'll have an audio file. No worries about that.
Okay.
So according to you, so what are the attributes of a personal brand? So how would you put that together? What are those specific attributes? If you reflect on your personal brand, what would be those specific attributes?
Yes. So I've seen two attributes of a personal brand. Okay, so there's purpose,
mm-hmm.
right, and there's value.
Okay.
And the purpose part of it is the way I see purpose is a shared belief in a common future.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're all human beings. We're part of this. You know, the way someone once described the 21st century is
mm-hmm.
a coming together of the human family
mm-hmm.
on a common digital platform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The coming together of a human family on a common digital platform. So when if you look at it from that perspective,
mm-hmm.
Each of us from the perspective of our lives
mm-hmm.
has to have a purpose.
Got it.
And this purpose is our link with the greater future of the human family of the human race that we belong to.
Right.
So for me, the definition of a purpose is a shared belief in a common future.
Got it.
A shared belief in a common future, no matter what we do.
Sure.
You know, the work that we do. All of that. So that's the first part of it. So
sure.
The first attribute of the personal brand is finding your purpose.
Right.
Okay. And that is a long journey. It will probably you will keep discovering facets of yourself.
Hmm.
Okay. As you go along this journey.
Right.
This is something that you will keep discovering as you go along. You
mm-hmm.
know, as you start off the first two decades of your life creating your brand,
mm-hmm.
the next three decades, you know, building your presence.
Mm.
I'm sorry, creating your identity, building your brand,
yeah.
and then managing your presence, right?
Got it.
Across the span of a lifetime.
Sure.
So that, and once you've figured out the purpose, then you move into the value aspect of it. Now, value means different things to different people.
Mm.
So your value to your family
is
very different from your value to your company.
Got it.
Right? And your value, let's say, to the college that you're studying.
Got it.
Okay. Each of these aspects of your life has a different value.
Right.
So once you've figured the purpose, right, this kind of shared belief in a common future from wherever you stand, then it's a question of how do you express this value, this value in these different arenas, in these
right.
different focus areas. Okay. Each one has a different kind of focus area.
Got it.
Your value in a company might be as, you know, a very prized employee.
Right.
Who is able to attract, you know, large revenue deals.
Hmm.
But whereas your value to your alma mater, to the college that you studied in, would be something to the effect of being an inspiration to all the other generations that came before you.
Got it.
Okay? In fact, you would be the person by which everyone said, you would be that person of whom everyone says, that college must be good because he studied there or she studied there. Okay, that's the kind of value that you would bring out there. There would be that kind of value of association.
Got it.
So value in the different, arenas of our lives, the different audiences of our life, actually, we need to figure out what the value is and build it from there. So purpose and value are the two attributes according to the person.
Fantastic. That's great. Great point. So in your, you have observed people around you. So who, according to you, is a personal brand, and what are the characteristics you admire about them? So if you could name a couple of people.
Yes, I could do that. And here's where the story gets really interesting. I've had the, everything that I've experienced of personal brands is because I've had the privilege of being friends with people that are quite famous to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right from my childhood, I've known people that that have actually done all of these things that I mentioned earlier. You know, they've worked at creating the identity, building brand, managing the reputation. From an early age, they demonstrated a sense of purpose. And when they stepped into their professional lives, they began to represent value at the highest level.
Got it.
Okay. The first person I would like to speak about from a childhood perspective is Vishwanathan Anand.
Okay.
You know, the Indian chess grandmaster.
Right.
So I studied with him in school.
Okay.
And so we were all together in class, and he was somebody that. He is, he is a person whom I can honestly tell you is the same person that you meet on the street is the same person that I know as a classmate.
Okay.
He is exactly the same person, you know, and he's trying to maintain his essential integrity, humility, as a person. From that time. And,
okay.
And over the years, I've known him from the time. I've known him from his early teens. Okay,
right.
That's when I've known him, and he just turned out to be till today he's essentially the same person that he is. Okay? And he always reminds me of that saying by Socrates, which says, "May the inward and outward man be at one." May the inward and outward man be at one. So there is this whole integrity of a person who's a great personal brand, which is they figure out who they are on the inside, and as far as possible, once they figure out their purpose, they project that value into the different stages that they are in.
Okay.
So Vishwanathan Anand is a person so I would say I'm just saying that some of these big people that I've seen, and I can give you a couple of other names, you know. At the risk of name dropping, but these are the people I've known personally. I have done some level of work with them personally, even professionally, and I can tell you that with each of them, I've seen integrity in the way they carry themselves as people, in the way they answer questions, a sense of purpose that they have, and there's humility.
Right.
You know, there's an essential humility that endears them to everybody else.
Got it.
I haven't seen any. You know, traces of arrogance in the way they might be confident of who they are as people, but nowhere have I seen any arrogance in the way that they are as people, which is a kind of a big contrast with the reality show driven world that we see today.
Right. Yeah.
On a personal level. So the second. You were saying?
No. I think, interesting person you've named. So I really love that example.
Yes. Yeah, the second is Arvind Swamy, the actor.
Okay.
Okay, so in fact, we were all classmates together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the interesting thing about Arvind was that he was a you know, he came to the fore. I mean, he started off being a model in school and then worked his way into the films.
Mm-hmm.
The film that he was part of that made a big difference was the film Roja, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Roja was the big crossover film for the South Indian film industry. It was
mm-hmm.
only after the film Roja,
mm-hmm.
which introduced him and A.R. Rahman, the composer,
right.
That films from the South, which were technically excellent, got to be accepted in the North of India,
mm-hmm.
you know, making it... sort of giving a film an equal chance in the world's largest film industry, which has more films than Hollywood, right? It's about over 1,000 films a year.
Right.
The Indian film industry.
Right.
So Arvind, too, to my mind, Arvind was such a person too, you know. And the first attribute that I've seen in him is his confidence,
mm-hmm.
especially to try out something new.
Mm.
Okay. That was an important thing that I saw in him in those early days.
Mm-hmm.
The second was when he is given something, when I speak about this confidence, if he's asked to do something, even in something as simple as a class assignment,
mm.
he would take that additional effort to give it a certain like, for instance, if he was told this is a dialogue of a person from such and such a country, then
mm.
he would try his best.
Mm.
Let's say it was an American,
mm.
a Midwestern American,
mm.
right? He would then try his best to read it in a Midwestern American accent.
Got it.
Okay.
Mm.
He wouldn't just read it, but he would read it out in that accent, even though it was a class situation or something like that.
Sure.
This is something that he's carried into his life. He's a businessman,
okay.
and he's also an actor, but he's carried it into his life then.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
And from a young age, he would spot things like, he would look at excellence, right?
Mm.
Elements of excellence. For
mm.
instance, he noticed how Tom Hanks lost all that weight in Castaway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks plays this FedEx guy, right?
Right.
Who
right.
at the beginning of the film, an overweight guy, and then he's cast away on an island.
Right.
And it really interested him that Tom Hanks's excellence as an actor to lose all of that weight and become that castaway.
Mm.
So this kind of excellence of looking for excellence, maybe outside of your arena, but
mm.
still taking in those ideas is something that he does quite well.
Got it.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So,
this is great.
And so, in terms of the steps you took personally to build your brand, so you did mention, the initial part of discovery, and all that. So, how do you know that it's working? So, what are the indications that you had that your personal brand was getting developed along the way?
Okay. So, first of all, let me tell you what I think about communication itself, and this is something that I picked up along the way. I'm very interested in a way that we communicate as people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that makes some people more successful and more compelling than others,
right,
when they communicate?
Got it.
So it goes down to how do people communicate, right? So there's
mm.
the whole thing about communicating through the senses,
mm.
you know, and so it's the seeing, it's the hearing, it's the talking,
mm.
you know, all bringing in all of the senses,
mm.
the feeling, the tasting. They have the NLP approach, right? Visual, the kinetic, the olfactory, all of those things.
Right.
So one aspect of it is that personal brands are experienced through the human senses.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
And that's the first realization that we need to have.
Mm.
That it's not just any one thing, but it's the entire package.
Mm.
So when we are personal brands, we need to be conscious
mm.
of who we are as people and how we are going to how we want ourselves to be projected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because one of the important things, I mean, because we both belong to the Authors Club, a lot of this research they did found its way into my 2004 book, which is Corporate Communications. Right?
Yeah.
Corporate Communications, a 21st Century Primer.
Right.
And again, here, I just want to use the example of the book because when I was given the opportunity to write the publishing company Sage, when they in the year 2000, when they asked me to write a book, they said you can write on anything because you can write on advertising, on journalism, or you could write on this new area called corporate communications because they'd seen I'd done a story on corporate communications. Okay, and I decided to take up corporate communications as the area. Now that this made things quite difficult for me because there weren't any other books on the subject. Right? It was like taking the narrow path.
Right.
But it made me the only one who knows what I do.
Right.
So coming back to the point, I feel that it's what makes you different, right?
Yeah.
What resonate with the most. Now, I knew it would be difficult for me to write about corporate communications, but I also knew that this is a challenge that resonates with me. This is something that I could do.
Got it.
And okay. It would set me apart. You have to make the decision to stand apart.
Right.
What is this one thing that makes me different? What is it that people around notice about me that is different about me?
This in
the early years when we are in school or college, right? We either become the people that people go to for a complex math problem, for an equation, or we become the people that people come to for to solve an accounting issue, or people come to say I need to write this letter or I need to make this presentation. Can you help me with it? Right. So those are all the first signs of what your personal brand is.
Got
what do people know you for?
Yeah.
Start from there. And then build it from there.
Okay, great. Yeah, this is brilliant. And while you went along your journey, what are some of the challenges that you faced while building the brand? Did you come across some obstacles, barriers?
Yeah. If I were to be completely honest, the decision to become a communicator, right? I decided one fine day, in the final year of my college, that I was never going to get into business per se, but I was going to commit my life to being a writer. At that point, I said writer. Eventually, it became an author.
Right.
Okay. And I gave up the comfortable path that I could have easily taken. And I took the difficult path because this is the journey that I decided I would take. And as of today, which is 2020, it's 30 years now. Has been 30 challenging years in which I've seen so many changes. Like we've seen the changes of technology, change the way the many of the companies that I started working for do not exist today, with the changes that have come by.
Right.
But I think the first challenge that you will face is within your inner circle. It would be that not everybody will accept in your family or among your friends would accept who you want to become, especially in terms of your personal brand. So that's the first place. If I were to quote from Christian scripture, right? It talks about a prophet being without honor in his own home or in his own town. So I would translate that into being if you are visionary about what you do, right? And you see something on the horizon that nobody else is seeing. I think the first thing that you need to deal with is a disbelieving family. Right. Or a disbelieving group of friends would say, why would you want to waste your time with these things? Because they don't see the horizon that you see.
Right.
Okay. So that would be the first step. But if your sense of purpose is strong, then you decide to step out into that world. It becomes a difficult but a rewarding journey at the end.
Right. Okay. Great. That's a great. Any other challenges that you faced along the way apart from the bottleneck of people coming in the way or not accepting your beliefs?
Yeah. So the second level is when you get into a business. Now, so when I remember in the early 90s when I started working, like I said, I started working in 1990. The rate of what we call business change or disruption was pretty far away. You could work, I remember that, people who worked from 1980 to 1990 said this is the way things are done in the office, right? And they don't change. They would go at it from that perspective. But by the time it hit the 90s, it was every 2 or 3 years that the technologies began to change and all of that. And the key thing that made the difference was, in the 90s, I started off with a small advertising agency that did only, it basically handled print work, okay, and nothing else. Anything in print, basically a print ad or a print, flex boards and all that kind of thing. Sooner than later, television was a part of the whole equation by the early 90s. BSNL came into India on August 15, 1995. After that, the digital revolution was unleashed on us. I was fortunate actually at that point in time because around the early, in 94, I left for the UK to do my master's in journalism and media studies at Cardiff University. So when I went there, the 93 was when the World Wide Web kind of premiered, okay? So the next year, 94, I was at Cardiff University and I saw this computer lab where you had these long-haired guys with, iron t-shirts and stuff like that, you know, and they were sitting in front of these notice boards, with these door screens, the dark screens and typing away. And these were the first notice boards in the world, the web notice boards. Okay? This would eventually head towards becoming social media.
Okay.
And websites, they were working on the websites. And I came back to India in late 95. Okay. And by the time I came back to India, India was far more advanced than the UK in terms of the systems we had. Because we didn't have to go through the legacy systems.
Right.
We went straight into, the age of the PC.
Correct,
desktops. So, and India was always way ahead in terms of the digital work. In fact, today, India is seen not only as a digital leader, but also as the services capital of the world. If you look at the way we handle our banking, the way that, the vast majority of our population has access to digital banking services and all of that. So, what I notice is that change happens very fast, coming back to my point. And it's probably now happening at a rate of, the change is happening faster than a year right now. It's probably happening every 10 months. 12 months, we have change coming in. So it's either a new technology, a new platform, there's a new way of thinking.
Right.
But you need to keep your focus on whatever you're doing, and ensure that if you're getting into something new, remove something else that you were doing.
Got it.
Right?
Okay.
What you were doing in order to build your personal brand.
Great. And in terms of were there some specific conscious techniques you used? So while you're going through the journey. Were there any specific techniques that you used to, build your brand?
Well, I just try to remain myself, okay, so let me then, it's time to go to the next board, right? So there's a book called Good to Great. There's a book called Good to Great, which was a book about, by Jim Collins, the author. He was one of the main authors of the book. And this whole book is the story of the greatest corporations in the U.S., the biggest companies in the U.S., and the story of the second company after them.
Right.
Why did one company become the leader and the rest just follow behind?
Right.
Okay. And it all came down to this one point, which is, it was summarized as follows. It says, preserve the core and stimulate progress. Preserve the core and stimulate progress. Okay. So if you ask me what this one technique that influenced me a lot as a person, to preserve the core, just keep myself, keep focused on what I am doing, but ensure that I, there's progress around me, that I'm trying new things always and all of that. So I would walk into a situation pretty much being the person that I am, but come out transformed by the technology that I was using.
Got it. Okay.
So that's probably the one top thing that I would tell you.
Great. And so in the process of building your brand, so did you, of course there are, highs and lows, but what are some of, the things which you feel you gained along the way and what something which you lost? For example, it could be, there's a lot of time you invest in this and therefore you obviously may have to take a call between, personal pursuits versus professional pursuits, family time also is then divided. So what are some of the things you gained and what are the things which you felt you lost?
Just a second, Anish, so I'll get the light on here.
Sure.
what did I gain and what did I lose on the journey of building my personal brand? First of all, it isn't an easy process, you know.
Yeah.
It's a journey that's personal to each of us. We each have our own challenges.
Right.
The important thing is that this journey starts in your 20s when you step out into the world, right?
Mm.
So you've already created your identity. You're kind of in your early 20s. You're into the world, and then you're trying to work and make a presence. Build your presence out there.
Right.
What did I gain? I learned the importance of self-reliance.
Okay.
One thing I decided to do. One of the important things for me personally was to go through this with a kind of a, you know, with a set of values that were a cornerstone.
Right.
Okay. I wanted to do this ethically, and I wanted to make sure that this was a lasting success that I had. So I kind of figured out early in my life that if I wanted to really enjoy the success, then I would have to do this the hard way, right? And also ensure that it's a long-term kind of success.
Right.
That was the important thing.
All right.
So I took that, for a better part of these 30 years, and I cannot believe it's been 30 years, you know.
Right.
But I took this sense of myself into it. So I had to be, if I went to work in a company, I would have to be comfortable with what that company does.
Mm.
I would have to be comfortable with the things that this company believes in. You're not going to find 100%, you're not going to find 100% perfect company.
Right.
But if you know that the company, maybe the company, 9 out of 10 times, the company is trying to do the right thing.
Right.
That it's a group of people who say it's more important to do the right thing than make a large sum of money unethically. If you're in the group of people who have those shared values,
right,
then you can grow together. You know, then there is a sense of togetherness,
right,
and you can grow together with the company. So that way, I gained a lot of experience of working with great people. And for a short stint, the early 90s, from the late 90s to the early 2000s, I set up my own company. I had a company called Median Communications, which was a corporate communications firm. And that's what I tried to do there. I tried to attract like-minded people and do this work. It turned out that was one of India's first corporate communication firms, pure play corporate communication firms. We just got into it and we did it. We were into a lot of some of the earliest projects. Corporate communication project, building intranets, all of those things. So the 7 years I spent leading that company actually led me to write the book on corporate communications. You know, there was some place that I wanted to sort of enshrine all those experiences.
Sure.
That's how I ended up writing the book.
Sure. And were there any downsides? Yeah, the downsides of it. What are the
downsides?
Yeah.
Yeah. The downside is that if you go into this as an idealist, right, you're in for a pretty rough ride.
Okay.
But the best that you can hope for is you go in as an idealist or an optimist and at least come out of it a realist.
Mm.
You can say, if I can't do the things that I set out to do earlier, at least can I do this?
Right.
Yeah. Can I? And the important thing is to achieve each one of those dreams that you set out to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you can do it at that maximum, you know, the way, you know, the sort of the epic scale that you set up to do things, right?
Right.
If you cannot do it that way, at least do it in a small way in your little corner of the planet. That's enough. If you couldn't plant a forest, at least plant one tree.
Right.
That gives, you know, a shade in an entire place. Because that one tree will become a grove and the grove will become a forest. So if you cannot achieve it in a large scale, at least try and achieve it in a small scale. And that's what I tried to do with all of the things that I set out to do. You know, whether it was in the area of my writing and all of the other areas I worked on.
Cool. That's really helpful. And in terms of, if you were to advise someone who's starting from scratch, what is that first step he or she must take to build a brand, personal brand?
The journey of our conversation today has been all about that, right? And I think the first step really is this sense of purpose, right?
Sense of purpose.
To figure out what you want to do as a person.
Right.
The sense of purpose and trying to understand what should I do in order to get there? And it starts with these small steps that you take in whatever you're doing. You could be, a student in high school. You could be a first year college student. But whatever you're doing, get into it, do it to your complete, you know, immerse yourself completely in it, you know, live that experience completely, so right. that you come out of it saying, I want to do this or I want to do that. So that's a very important thing. Be intense
right.
about whatever you're doing in the beginning to find your sense of purpose.
Got it. Okay.
The other thing I would say is, which was a habit of the earlier generation and still continues today in another way, is to keep a journal.
Hmm.
Okay? To keep a journal. Hmm. Now, we hear about it as a diary, right?
Hmm.
But technically, a diary is a collection of events. This mm. happened at this time of this.
Mm.
But a journal is you know, tracks your thoughts,
mm.
right? Your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions.
Mm.
I think it's very important for everybody to keep a journal
mm.
These days. There are many authors who talk about it. There are a lot of you know, gurus out there who talk about it.
Right.
But keeping a journal and tracking your feelings right from your, you know, from a young age
hmm.
is a very important thing. So today yeah. when I talk to like tail end millennials or Gen Z
hmm.
and I ask them a question like, I was doing a webinar 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
right? This was about becoming a content writer.
Hmm.
So I asked a number of them and I was very surprised. I asked, there were 18 of them on that webinar.
Hmm.
And I asked them, how many of you keep a journal or have some kind of recording your especially your emotions, feelings, tracking all of those things, your evolution as a person.
Hmm.
And it turned out that at least out of 18, at least 12 had some form of this journal.
It's quite great.
Okay? That was a good thing.
Great.
The interesting thing is, many of them told me, the 12 out of the 18 told me that they used their mobile phones for it.
Nice.
As opposed to the, you know, the pen and paper option. But
sure.
The thing that I asked them to do is, I said, it's not about, it is devoting a book to your thoughts.
Hmm.
Okay, because when you sort of put your thoughts down on paper, you're giving it that importance.
Got it.
Right? Whatever you want to be, whatever you want to shape up to be, the fact that you're putting it down on paper gives it a tremendous power,
mm.
right? And it helps you to evolve. So in this process of building your brand, the clarity comes from maintaining something like this.
Got it.
So I obviously, you know, a diary might work well for me, but a journal might work well for me, but for another person, it's you know, it's a text pad.
Right.
But the point is that the process is happening, and that's something that has to go on. Some people have to vlogs these days, right? You have a lot of vloggers.
Absolutely.
People doing little videos of the way they feel.
Yeah.
So that too is another way of doing it.
Perfect. Okay. And so if you had the opportunity to, you know, if you reflect back on your journey, if you had the opportunity to change something which in the way you went about building your brand, what would that one thing be?
Okay, the one thing would be the one thing I would tell my younger self is, because I don't care much about giving advice to other people, is start earlier.
Okay.
Start earlier. And start earlier is based on this one fact about our lives, that the most valuable thing we have is time.
Mm.
The most valuable thing we have is time. It's not the money, it's not the wealth, it's not any of the talents, you know, that you're naturally endowed with. It is time.
Mm.
Okay. And so start as early as possible. And we happen to be living in an amazing era right now where things are fast tracked.
Okay.
Things are fast tracked.
Yeah.
You can get on to you know, people that used to struggle for decades without a break.
Mm.
They can get on a YouTube or any video streaming channel and get their work published in less than an hour.
Right.
Okay, that's the incredible power of our time.
Got it.
So it's very important to get started as early as possible and understand the value of every day that you're living.
Got it.
Right. That would be important. And be confident. Once you understand your purpose, be confident and step out. That's the best way to be positive.
And according to you, what's your, you know, one line definition of what's your mantra for personal branding success?
The one line, okay. So that's something that I would.
Or your recipe, kind of to say it.
No, there's. Yeah. Okay. So this is something that I apply to my writing, which I think is also true of. Because, see, the act of branding is also the act of communicating. So my fundamental thought about communication is that We're all human beings. Every human being, you know, neurosciences tell us that as human beings, we think 70,000 thoughts a day.
Right.
80% of those 70,000 thoughts, which is around 56,000 thoughts, is about communication. It's about communication. Okay. Now, what the recipe that I would take from all of this is what I call the ABC of great communication. I apply it to my content writing. The ABC are accuracy, brevity, and clarity. Okay. Be accurate, which means get your facts right. Okay. If there's anything that you are taking in, make sure that you're getting it from an accurate source. You're not taking fake news. You're able to spot fake news just because you're always focused on the right kind of the accuracy of facts and everything you hear. The second is be brief. Don't talk too much because we're already living in a cluttered world.
Right.
Okay. So think of what is the best way to communicate what you want to say. Be brief about it. Just say what you have to say.
Got it.
And if you keep quiet most of the time, then everybody will listen to you when you speak because you're going to only speak for a short while and say something important.
Right.
Right. Instead of getting involved with the noise and the kind of dissonance that's around.
Got it.
The third thing is your clarity of thought. You know, try to express as a personal brand. Try to find your personal way to best express an idea. Be as clear as possible. And the example, I happen to live in Kerala, one of the most beautiful parts of the world, not just India, but anywhere else. So the example that I give for people is, I would rather be a crystal clear mountain stream, you know, flowing down the mountain, rather than a turbulent, muddy canal, you know, flowing through the city. Yeah, and we have the choice to be like that. We could either choose to be absolutely crystal clear that people can see through the depth of what we are talking about. You can see through the depth of a mountain stream,
right?
Whereas a canal, a polluted canal that runs through a city, you have absolutely no idea, what it's all about. So accuracy, brevity, and clarity. Be accurate.
Right.
When it comes to a personal brand, be accurate, be brief, and be clear.
Great. And Just a couple of more questions. So one is on your, you know, if you mentioned a couple of names like Vishwanathan Anand and, you know, Arvind Swami, but in terms of, you know, whom do you really follow right now or whom do you learn from? So if you can give me a couple of names of people whom you admire currently as personal brands.
Okay. So the third name I would introduce to you that I've known for some time now is A.R. Rahman.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew him too, and in terms of a brand, you know, I mean, we all know him, and to people of all genres of music that listen, right, he has something for them.
Right.
Okay. And I had the I rated as I want to give you the example of two friends. Okay. There were two people I wanted to talk about. Were friends. So one was Rahman, A.R. Rahman, and the other one was a more senior musician called John Anthony.
Okay.
John Anthony. John Anthony was Rahman's mentor in many ways because they used to play together in a world music band called Roots in the early 80s. And if you listen to the early music of Roots, you would realize John Anthony was a master of, you know, it's sad, but he passed away last January.
Okay.
He was one of the masters of our time. And He was a person who played in many of the soundtracks in Indian film music. He was a guitarist, solo, and I respected him as one of the masters of what he does. So he was a master in my mind. And with him was Rahman, who was much younger than him, the two of them were masters. And they worked together, they collaborated together and all that. In fact, the lead solos that you hear in Rahman's music, the requirements, they sound like John Anthony's solos, right?
Okay.
And for the last, I knew him when I was growing up in Chennai, right? And for the last decade, I knew him here in Trivandrum. I used to go to his house and I used to listen to his stories on how to blend East and Western, you know, West music of the West and music of the East. It was an absolute privilege to be in the presence of a master like him and learn from him. The same went with Rahman also. Okay. I knew them all from that same time period because I worked in the media and I wrote about them. And one of the things that came through quite clearly was the dedication to what they do and the clarity of what they said. Okay, so they were essentially quiet people. They continued to be introverts. You know, they were introverts, but they were definitely people that took time to make their art their way of life.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
So, and with Rehman, I found we spent 3 hours in December 1989 talking about the importance. This was before all the big stuff happened, right? So, I spent 3 hours with him in the presence of two other people. One of them was L. Vaidyanathan. He's the, if you remember Malgudi days, right? If you remember, there were three brothers. There was L. Shankar, L. Subramaniam, L. Vaidyanathan. So, L. Vaidyanathan was the eldest brother. Him. There was Rehman, there was a third person called, he was one of India's leading jazz trumpet players. They were all associated with the two industry. So there was a Saturday morning I spent talking music with them. To me, that's one of the top areas. And so if you want to be at that level, there is a way to do it of being yourself and yet placing yourself among these greats.
Got it.
That's an important part of your personal brand.
Great. You know, one of the things which strikes me even today is, like, right now, because of what's happening with COVID-19 and others, what must personal brands do in times of crisis? So that's one question which was always on my mind. I thought I'll ask you. So what do you think they should be doing in times of crisis? Do they lie low or do they do something different? So what's your sense?
I think anybody who... you know, a personal brand is an extension of your wanting to make a difference in the world.
Right.
Right. And from wherever you are, wherever you sit, you must try and do something about whatever is happening out here. Now, it looks like, you know, it's suddenly like this whole world has gone into forced paralysis.
Right.
You're not supposed to move here, you're not supposed to move there. But we are blessed with this technology that allows us to communicate like this.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And this is also indicated. Let me tell you what else is happening and how we can respond. I personally believe, and this is my view, that we're coming to a cycle of the overall industrial revolution. The industrial revolution that changed our world began in 1850 in the spinning mills of Manchester in England.
Right.
That's where it all began. Assembly line production and all of that. That shifted the way things, that was 200 years ago, nearly 200 years ago, 1850s.
Correct.
And we've had one cycle till 1950, right? And the next cycle is from 1950 to, and then now they're calling it the fourth industrial revolution and
right.
all of that. So there has to be a big shift that happens right now. Now, what is the shift that is happening? One of the shifts is the move away from the earlier powers of the industrial revolution. You know, with all respect to them, what is happening is that you know, the economic views that 60%, economists tell us that 60% of the world's wealth is pouring into the Asia Pacific region. Okay. This automatically what happens is, and then you have these new technologies that are coming in. So in this situation, we have 7 billion people and a whole new generation of empowered people through technologies. Now, this technology with great power comes great responsibility, says the Spider-Man film, right? So whatever we are doing does make a big impact, okay? So regardless of where we are, without getting into a competitive mode, we got to look at how we can get involved and help in a situation like this, the COVID-19 type situation.
Got it.
I think one important thing is to stay positive and also ensure that we are sources of positive news, right? That could be as simple as not spreading, forwarding that fake news that you get on WhatsApp. That could be one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is, what are the changes that I spot from where I am that I can see? If I'm an auditor, okay, how can we operate with all of these COVID-19? You know, situations around us, how can we operate to change the way that businesses do their accounting, for instance?
Got it.
Right?
Got it.
That would be, you might think it's a commonplace idea, but that is something that you could, as an auditor, you could bring that understanding to this world. So the one thing that, you know, anybody that's trying to build a personal brand, whichever field it is, is to look at your education, look at your experience, and look at your expertise.
Mm.
Look at what you can, your education, your experience, and expertise.
Mm.
Look at that one thing that you can offer as a piece of positive mm. knowledge in the world.
Mm.
Right? And work, collaborate with other people to make this thing happen.
Mm.
Okay. Cool. So an example now is this webinar that I was talking about 2 weeks ago. It was started by the folks at Technopark today, which mm. is, you know, the Trivandrum, the IT park in Trivandrum is known as Technopark.
Right.
They have, it's a large, it's over 300 acres. It's got 500 companies and 55,000 people.
Mm.
And they started this content writing webinar because it was a response to, if you feel insecure about your job,
mm.
How about looking at content writing as an additional source of income?
Mm.
Why don't you pick up the threads of the writing career you left behind in college
mm.
and start creating content?
Good point.
And it took it a step further and said, and all this without stirring out of our homes. Everybody's under, in this lockdown type situation.
Yeah.
But we had people, about 18 people eventually lined up for the webinar.
Okay.
And they were all actively looking at opportunities of not only just writing, but you know, there were people looking for, to give these people opportunities to write for IT companies within the
okay.
Technopark campus. Now that's a small initiative, but you know, it's an example. It's important that you try and you make the difference.
Mm.
You know?
Got it.
And that's a much more important thing than to just sit by and, you know, feel helpless.
Great. Thank you, Joseph. I think this is brilliant. These are excellent messages. I'm sure the readers will be very delighted to kind of read through this and go through this. So thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate you doing
this.
And I'll keep you posted on how things it goes.
Yes, Aniso. And what I want to say to you, you know, on camera, if you like, is that you should continue to do the good work that you're doing.
You know,
because wherever you've gone, you have been a communications leader wherever you were, but you have gone out there, you know, first with your work in internal communications and now on personal branding. And I think personal branding is the need of this moment. We're at the beginning of a decade. We're living in a locked up world.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And people are trying to figure out how things are going to be different. In fact, I feel that the difference we're going to see now is as big as the difference we saw in the early 90s when the internet first came in, computers mm. and the internet came.
Got
I think we are seeing changes at that scale.
Right.
You know, the 2000s were nothing like that. The 2010s were nothing like that. You
mm.
know, they were all kind of even flow compared to the change we are seeing now.
Right.
We've actually seen our world shut down, and I got that, you know, the 2.81 billion people, the 82% of the workforce you mentioned
in your article.
This is very significant because this has changed. This has completely changed the way we are going to work, and it's very important for all of us
mm.
who belong to this 2.81 billion work to relook at our personal brands at this time and be poised for the changes that come up ahead of us. Okay,
great.
So that's why this is a timely conversation.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much. All right, thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
Yeah, take care.
All right.
So we'll be in touch. Yeah.